Blog Talk Radio.
On the floor and taking your request.
Ho! 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 Three! You know! Let's go! This is Voice of the People! Every Monday, 7 p.m. Hit the number, tune in. This is Voice of the People! I don't see the whole size out, time to wild out. This is Voice of the People. Mark Lee, the witty genius, ready to receive this Voice of the People. The sixth man, King Geronimo. This is how we roll on Voice of the People. Ho, ho, ho. This is Voice of the People. Ho, ho, ho.
Oops. She must have been a bit.
Trying to live it up for us. So my mic is open. Can anyone hear me?
Nope.
Let me know if you can hear me. All right. Can you hear me?
Nope.
Welcome, everybody. This is the Voice of the People. That was pretty hot. I like that. So I had a conversation with Jay one day, and one evening, as a matter of fact, I was like, yeah, we need something kind of catchy, you know, to appeal to the young people and keep us kind of young, even though all of us are pretty much, you know, in that ARP. Are we ARP yet? No, I don't think so. We're fabulous and in our 40s. Including Mark.
I wish. I'm almost at the speed limit.
I'm forever 21. That's my motto. But, that was kind of hot. I'm feeling that.
I even
shot there. Thank God I can still fit some of those damn clothes. So how's everybody doing?
Doing well.
Another Make It Happen Monday.
Another Monday. Oh, my God. And it's December. December 5th, 2016. In the studio. Todd Jones. What's up? Mark Lee. And
in the house.
Sixth man. Other than, hey, what's up, Mark? And this man, which is, you know, Dean Geronimo. What's
I'm
up,
here.
Guys? So we got
not much.
So we got a guest, Kimberly Raven, guys. She's our guest tonight. Mm-hmm. She's going to be the voice. We're going to talk to her and see how she juggles being this beautiful bombshell, beautiful brown skin woman. I love her. Got a chance to meet her, hang with her a few times in the A, and we'll talk to her. She's a licensed massage therapist of Body Flow Inc. and finds time to work in being in some new reality TV show that's going to air. Man, also being a single mom, works for the government, too. My God, where does she find the time? I'm out of breath just talking about it. So we're going to talk to the beautiful diva, talk to Jay Reed, too. I think he's in the building. And find out what was his inspiration about the Voice of the People intro. I thought it was kind of hot. I'm feeling it. Were you guys feeling it?
Yeah.
Definitely was feeling it. It was cool.
I thought so, too. He even threw in a little bit of, you know, noise and some drama, you know, poked at all of our personalities, who we are, how we do this thing called talk radio. A little bit unorthodox we are. We kind of do things our way here. Might even drop the F-bomb, but oh well, that's radio, right? So, it's Monday. And I don't know about you guys, but I do have a guilty pleasure. I've been Instagramming all day because, you know, I can. And one of my guilty pleasures comes on tonight. I don't know if you guys have been following, but maybe Dean has. You know, I got to see if Mark is up to speed with this. But I got to rep New York City every day, all day. And Loving Hip Hop Season 7, New York. I'm feeling it. Are you feeling it? Anybody?
Okay.
Anybody?
So far, it's kind of slow, man. It's kind of slow. I'm waiting for the real action to jump off, man. Slow.
Well, you know, I was watching TMZ last week, and TMZ had some drama. So the chicks is always brawling. They had a bar brawl, actually. Some of the chicks and the cast members still not getting along. Can't everybody just get along? But I'm cheering and rooting for Remy Ma. She seems to be having a great year thus far. Number one single out there, All the Way Up. Did get to watch her on the Soul Train Music Awards. They did receive an award, her and Fat Joe. Big up to the Bronx. Big up to Remy Ma. And, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV, guys. I'm one of those people that kind of watch what I want. So I'm starting, I might be late, but I have been getting into, my husband got me into Game of Thrones. Have you guys ever heard of that show?
Heard of it, never saw it, though.
Oh, my God, it's an amazing show. It's very cool. And there's something else that I've been watching. It's an HBO series, actually two. Got some time on my hands, so I'll be a critic. Another show called Insecure. And Issa Rae, she's the executive producer, writer, and she's also the main character on the show. It's a modern-day black woman who might be described as strong and confident, okay? In other words, she's just the opposite of the character Issa. Her girlfriend Molly, they're best friends, and they deal with their own real life flaws. Their insecurities come to the forefront as together they cope with endless series of uncomfortable everyday experiences. So created by the co-star Issa Rae, writer, comic Larry Wilmore from The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And the comedy series looks at the friendship of two black women in a unique, authentic way. Really love the show. If you haven't watched it, take some time. First season was amazing. You got some great characters on there. Also, homeboy from The Game is on there, which is Jay Ellis. Pretty cool. He plays her love interest. And I'm feeling that show. Got to watch another show that was pretty cool. Jill Scott is doing her thing. Big up to the queen. Love Jill Scott. It's called the number one ladies detective agency. Interesting, though, because, yeah, I mean, is it back? So you watched it, Dean? Have you been following
it? Yeah,
that
it was one season. It was like a couple of years ago. And now,
well,
I guess, okay,
so you know what? I'm old. So I'm just now getting onto it. I'm just catching up. But I will tell you this: they need to bring another season back. I'm not quite sure if it just didn't take off with everyone, but I did like the fact that it was shot in Africa, and she's portraying, you know, a sister out of Botswana. And it definitely took me into the everyday lives of our sisters and brothers in the motherland and showed us how they live. And I actually kind of liked it. I don't know. How'd you feel about that, Dean, since you watched it?
It was actually pretty decent. I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. Jill, big up to Jill. She's actually a pretty good actress. I really do like her as an actress. So without further ado, let's bring in our guest for tonight, the lady of the evening, Kimberly Raven. How are you doing tonight, Kim?
Hey, I'm fine. How's everybody doing?
Hey.
Hey, we're doing well.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Our voice. You're the voice for tonight. So, Kim, we had the pleasure
awesome.
Of meeting. We met in an unorthodox way, I would say. We met on Facebook. Is that right?
Yes, we sure did. Yes, we did. And we just clicked.
So tell my co-host and my producer how we met and what project are you currently working on that allowed us to collide together and meet?
So we kind of actually met, like you said, on the Facebook. We're actually casting for a competition reality show, and we were contestants on there. And each week we was in rotation, and we was actually supposed to go to Miami to do a couple of shoots, and Ty just kind of reached out in the group and said, hey, you know, somebody want to roll with me. So I just reached out to him, and, you know, we just kind of started talking behind the lines and decided, and, you know, we just kind of, you know, linked. So that's how we met, and we've just been friends ever since.
Okay.
Pretty cool. So how's the project going? Can you talk much about it? And, you know, I know it's still kind of on the hush, but if there's anything you could share with your experience with reality TV, please do.
Ooh. Hey. It's something else.
So have you gained any frenemies? Are you forming any alliances? Tell, please.
I mean, you
tell.
Know what?
You know,
I have. Not yet. Okay, you know, on reality.
So wherever you're calling from, Kim, you might want to come a little closer, turn off any radios, the TVs you got on. We hear you, but you're going in and out, too, just so you know.
Uh-oh.
And speak when you can. Can you hear us, Kim? Okay, so her call dropped. I'm going to see if she calls us back. In the meantime, Jay Reed is on the phone with us, too. So, Jay, welcome to the show. Thanks for calling in. Are you there, Jay Reed?
Yeah, my bad. I was muted. I'm here. You know, voice of the people.
You know. What's going on, man?
How everybody
doing? What's
up,
Jay?
I'm good,
man.
I'm
doing
good. Can't complain.
So what's up? So what was the motivation behind the Voice of the People intro? I'm feeling it. A lot of energy. Do tell.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was. I just wanted to hype it up and bring some energy to the show because it's a very energetic show. You guys have good energy and good vibes. So just wanted to add more good vibes and, you know what I'm saying, say something about each and every one of y'all. The host and the co-host, and you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, I was
something
feeling
catchy
it.
As
thank
well.
You very much for that. It was pretty
yeah,
catchy. I have to say I thank you for that.
Yeah, I wanted to be an intro / song in a way.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, I definitely appreciate it. I
pretty
can see
cool.
that even
cool.
I appreciate
so
you guys. Like
that. Well, I like that. Kim is on the phone with us, but I think we have a bad connection with her. So I'm going to keep the show going. We're going to keep it brief. I'm texting her as we speak. So we're just going to all chime in. So there's a lot of things happening in the news and in the world of media today. And I just want the guys to have a round-off discussion in regards to that. How's everybody feeling lately about what's happening in the world of Trump being president? Your take on things happening in the world today. We'll chime off with Mark Lee. Dean, you chime in too. Let's go. What do you think?
Well, we're already seeing what we were expecting to see. Trump is putting together a cabinet of very interesting folks that are definitely not going to be for our interest, that's for sure, because, I mean, he's got, like, his little billionaire cabinet. I was looking on something online where I think the first five or six picks are billionaires like him, so they're just going to add to their own interest and things of that nature. I mean, I believe he appointed recently went ahead and appointed one of his competitors, Ben Carson, to run HUD, and he said the reason he was appointing Ben Carson was because Ben Carson was born in the inner city. I hadn't been raised in the inner city that much, but he was born in that area, and therefore that was his qualification. So, and he's had other appointments like that. So we're already seeing what's going on with that. And so I think we can just expect more of that kind of craziness. And, you know, every time something goes on, it seems like he jumps on tweets and decides to jumps on Twitter and decides to tweet about it. If he feels somebody is not saying something positive about him, and he tweets him. So who knows? He might decide to tweet about us. So we can get some other publicity that way, because I don't know if any of us three are going to say that much nice about him. So, Trump, if you want to tweet about us, go right ahead. Just go ahead, tweet anything that you want to. Just make sure that you put it correctly. It's the voice of the people with Ty Jones. We don't like you. So if you want to go ahead and tweet, go ahead. Go right ahead. We have no problem. Anybody that's listening to the Trump supporter.
Oh, Mark is on fire today. Dean, there was no car crash, no sound effects. What do you got to say about that, Dean? He's a troublemaker today. He's normally the nice one.
Dean, you still with us? I think I got you with that.
I'm not quite sure. So Kim is in the studio with us too, but I think the connection is kind of fuzzy. Kim, can you hear us?
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to mute the mic. If you can, Kim, call us back on a landline of some sort, the cell phone connection. From what I gather, the weather is not so hot over there where she is. Jay Reed, you're in the building with us too, correct?
Believe it.
All right, that's what's up. So let me see if the sixth man is going to jump in. Are you there, Dean?
I was talking and then it muted.
There's Dean.
Oh, okay. Oh,
if
there you are.
One more
are you
time.
Huh?
Stop
so
playing.
You're there.
There
okay,
you go.
Okay,
if
good.
You stop kick, if you stop clicking stuff.
All
I'm
right.
over here talking,
so
and it's like,
Mark,
what are you doing?
Okay, so you heard Mark. What do you got to say about
mm-hmm.
I never heard Mark so hostile. That's like a shock.
Let's see. We lived through Reagan, Bush, all the other presidents that sucked. So now we're back to suck-ass presidents again. It's not something that is surprising. We had an eight-year
right.
break from the bullshit. And so now,
right.
you know, like Dan Carson lived in the hood when? From 1958 to 1959, that qualifies him? No, nah,
exactly.
Man. You know what I mean? Like, Dan Carson lived in the hood for 2 months, ate one piece of cheese, and then he says, people need to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Hey, who the hell are you picking? You know what I mean? Like, but then again, look who's doing the picking. So if you got a Garbage Pail Kid picking, you know he's going to pick other Garbage Pail Kids. So now they believe that they got the best team running. It waits to be seen what they do. I don't expect much. So, you know, it's not surprising to me.
But it's Dean. It's not just those idiots though, because you know, right here in North Carolina, like I was telling Ty before we went on the air, we had the folks with the white sheets running through one of our small towns doing like a little mini parade, and then they went in Durham in the hood earlier today, from what I understand. But of course, in the hood in the morning when everybody was at work.
So they went in the
so
morning.
Go now.
Go to the hood, like, right now.
This is ridiculous, though, you know. Like, what is it about being a coward in today's age where if you're going to be something, you know, at least I can't say much about Trump, but at least he shows who he is on his sleeve. If he's a bigot, he's a bigot. If he's a racist, he's a racist. What the hell are you hiding behind white sheets for? I mean, what is all the mystery about? Are you holding on to a legacy of cowards? Because that's what I see when I see things like that happen. Speaking of cowards, is he a coward, Mark? You got North Carolina Governor Pat McCrory concedes race. So
that's
what's happening in North Carolina right now?
Yeah, he finally conceded today after he made Durham recount all 90,000 ballots. Because and you've been in Durham for a while. Why he thought he was going to get 10,000 votes out of Durham, which is a predominantly blue area, you know, predominantly Democratic area, is beyond me, but I guess he was holding on a whim and a prayer. But after he lost that, yeah, everybody knew he was going to lose, and he wasted a bunch of money because he hired a bunch of folks for 3 days to count at, like, I think it was 30 people at $15 an hour. So I did some of the calculations. It was something stupid, like, I think, you know, thousands of dollars, like tens of thousands of dollars for these people to do this recount. So you done wasted all this money for a recount that you already knew the results for.
Wow.
So do you think that's a tax write-off? I mean, is that a tax write-off when they waste this money? I mean, there's got to be. You can't tell me that people are just throwing money away. I mean, come on now. There's got to be some form of tax write-off for this shit.
I'm sure there's a tax write-off, but they was also talking about how just among the Republican Party, they've been in North Carolina hiring tons of lawyers for fighting laws that they know would get thrown out. So they're hiring these lawyers for hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars, for things that they know are going to get thrown out. So they're just, they're showing that they don't care about wasting money. And like we all know, you know, it's the billionaires club. So Trump and his group, they're going to make the money. You know, it's the old, like you mentioned earlier, Dean, Reagan's and that whole Reaganomics thing. You know how that worked out for us.
Right.
Well, I mean, Reaganomics was a trying time for us. You know, I don't recall having good times. I felt like we was good times back then, not to be jokey or try to be disrespectful. But back in those days, it was like every man for himself. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it. Seems like that's where we are in this world that we're living in today.
Exactly.
You just got to stand for something or you'll fall for everything. I was watching this crazy show. It's like a news show, kind of like Bill Maher, but it's a black guy. I'm going to bring it up. And there was this female trying to poke at Black Lives Matter, which I didn't understand her argument, and the host of the show did a great job. He was a black host. I'm going to bring it up and see if you gentlemen know about it. It was pretty interesting. I watched it over the weekend. Every retort that she had was idiotic. And she definitely was the epitome of a dumb blonde. She actually was a blonde. And the show was... Tom Lauren extended interview, The Daily Show with Trevor Noah, and
yeah.
Pretty much. So have you watched that? Does anybody watch that?
I've heard of that show, and Trevor doesn't play. He jumps right on it, so they don't.
He jumps right
on
it with this chick, like, yeah, because she pretty much was trying to get in on Black Lives Matter, pretty much trying to. Pretty much point blame at them for being the blame on blacks attacking the cops and cop killings and what they stand for. He went right in on her. Everything that she tried to say as a retaliation just was like putting a foot in her mouth. I'm going to share that clip on the Voice of the People page so you can go back and take a look at it. But when someone comes out and tries to physically attack a group or an organized group that stands for a cause, do you or do you not think that you need to understand what the hell you're barking at or do a little bit of research before you start barking? Guys, you want to chime in on that?
Say that one more time, because I missed
part. Say that by me one more time.
Okay. So if I'm going to, like, for example, Mark, you have a vast knowledge about, you know, politics, and you were making some mention about Trump and saying, I don't like him. Hey, I said it. I'm right here. Voice of the People, you want to find me? I'm right here. So if you're going to make a stand for something and voice your opinion and voice your comments, do you feel as though you should have a strong argument if someone's going to retaliate and start to question you? Don't you feel you should be knowledgeable of the shit you're talking about?
Oh, there's no doubt you need to have a knowledge base of what's going on and what's happening.
if I say I don't like them, I really don't need to explain shit to you.
That's true, too.
I just don't like
really?
The motherfucker. I don't owe you a fucking explanation. I really don't. If I don't like something, I don't like it. The problem with a lot of us is we want somebody to debate it. It's no debating. If I don't like it, I don't like it. I don't owe you a reason as to why. Because now when you start questioning me, I don't owe you shit. You're about to get in the same feel as the person I said I don't fucking like. Because if I don't like it, we want people to justify themselves to us. I don't have to justify myself to anybody. I know what I want, what I need, what I stand for, and I don't owe you to tell you my why. You know what I mean? Like, people will go back and forth all day. They did it with Hillary Clinton and all of this stuff. Nobody gives a fuck. I didn't like neither one of them. You know what I mean? And I don't have to tell you why. If I don't like them, if you mad because I said I don't like them, fuck you too. That's how I feel. You know, like, we spend too much time trying to justify. I'm not a part of that get-along gang. I don't have to say things you like. You know what I mean? I'm telling you how I feel in my heart. You can't tell me to feel any differently, and I should not have to explain to you why. First of all, we ain't I'm just saying.
So I'm going to ask you something because you made an interesting comment on Facebook, and I chimed in on it because I really did like it. You have put a post up about having a handicap decal and somebody making a snide remark about it. Could you explain that to some of the listeners and for some of us to chime in on, since it was very passionate and I really did empathize with it?
Well, in a nutshell, a lot of times people judge what they can't see. And a lot of people suffer with, you know, illnesses. You look fine, and it's the ultimate form of disrespect to someone who lives with an illness that you cannot see. Crohn's disease, diabetes, any form of cancer. You know, and people say, well, you don't look sick, or you look all right to me. What the fuck are you looking at? Like, you're looking at the outside. I can't tell you that the inside is a train wreck. So when you assume that just because what you see on the inside is on the outside is fine, you never know what a person is going through. And some people just assume that everything is okay just because I'm smiling.
And you bring up a very good point. You bring up a very good point, Dean, which is the fact that too often when people see that handicap sticker, they're looking for the physical handicaps. And most of us have some form of a disability of one sort or another. I mean, I've chimed in on Facebook. I've chimed in on this show. I've got a form of dyslexia called dysgraphia. That's the reason I don't drive, which I told you about in past conversations. But, you know, it's a whole left-right reflex and other kind of things. There are ways that I can compensate for it if I choose to at some point, but I've managed to get around without it. But that is a form of a disability. Unless I tell somebody that, nobody's going to know that looking at me.
Right, and I have Crohn's disease. I've dealt with that for 20 years, you know.
Right.
Yeah, and not to mention, Dean, not to put your business on blast, but you also are a survivor. How many times of a heart attack or issues with your heart?
Not heart attack, stroke. 3.
Stroke survivor. 3 strokes, wow. And just from appearance-wise and looking at you and always when I come in contact with you, you could never tell that about you. You always have, you know, a cool, positive personality. You never come off sickly, always positive in spirit, always got a kind word for another brother or sister, and you always lend a helping hand to your brothers and sisters, especially for us at VSU. You know, so I have to commend you for that. And I thank you for that post because I, too, you know, I have issues with osteo and rheumatoid arthritis. It's something that I've been managing now for over 11 years. And I will say there is no cure. They have not found a cure. And every year I thank God that I'm able to get out of bed and walk because of all places for me to have osteo, it's in my knees and in my hips. And it used to be tough, but then I stopped having a pity party, and I actually did something about it, which was change my diet, watch what I eat, even if it's 20 minutes or 10 minute walk on a treadmill, or just getting outside to go for a walk, I make myself do that. I make myself soak in tubs. I had to get proactive and not just sit there complacent and say, "Oh, it hurts," and rub some Bengay on there and say, "I'm not going to do shit about it." It's something that is a silent. This is a silent killer. I've seen one of my grandmothers, God bless her, she passed away years ago, but she too suffered from arthritis. It is hereditary. It runs on both sides of my family, and it crippled one of my grandmothers, who was one of those old Southern Black women who was stubborn as hell, and you could not make her get her ass out of that bed. If it hurt, she wasn't moving. And guess what it did? That old saying, if you don't use it, you lose it. She lost her mobility. She lost her ability to walk, and she had to be, you know, assisted for everything. And I have constant reminders of that, and I tell myself, I am not going to be a victim of circumstances. I will not be another statistic. And I get my ass up, and now I wear athletic gear on a daily basis. I'm going to put on the Adidas. I'm going to put on, you know, the pants that have compression, shit that's going to help me live a normal life without people noticing that, yeah, I too have a handicap decal. And motherfucker, don't question if I pull up front, why? You know what I'm saying?
I don't owe you. Right. I don't owe you the explanation. How about I trade places with you?
PTSD. Well, I could have PTSD. Ex-military vet. I know a few of our people from Virginia State, you know, that retired from the military have PTSD. You know, big shout out to Molly Maul, Jamal Cheatham. He got a handicap decal, not to call his business out there, but I used to question Jamal, healthy as shit, you know. Yo, Jay, why you got that decal? He said, nigga, I served my country. I got issues with my back. I got issues with my spine. Don't question me, motherfucker. You like red box on your ass. I might have PTSD and just go berserk on you. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Let's hear from the youngin' real quick, Mark Lee. Let's hear from the youngin', because, Jay Reed, I know you're young, but do you have any issues with what you're hearing tonight?
Absolutely, man. It's a lot of stuff going on, man. I think about the brother Kanye and what he's going through right now. You know what I'm saying? He's having his mental disorders and his, you know what I'm saying, depression and everything that he's handicapped right now. You know what I'm saying?
So, you know, he canceled his entire tour, okay? Like, he canceled 21 cities of concerts that he was supposed to do, Jay and guys. Wow. And, you know, now they're doing, like, deep investigation. They're trying to pin the brother with, like, insurance fraud. TMZ is going on this, and I've been so nosy. I'm watching TMZ.
To be honest,
you know what I'm saying?
Think about something, though. Think about this. All of the stuff that he's fussed about has a strong level of truth to it.
Yep.
And when you put their business out in the street, they will try to find a way to silence you. I don't believe that. He might be depressed, but he's not mentally unstable. They want you to believe he's mentally unstable so you can discount the truth that he's putting on Front Street. And they can't handle it because they're not used to, when you have that personality where you say whatever you feel, and if you don't like it, you can kiss my ass.
Yeah.
And, you know, now they're like, okay, well, we have to do something about this Kanye dude because he's really putting our business out there that we never wanted the general public to find out, and he's really telling it. So now we got to make them think that he's nuts so they will discount whatever he says. And they're trying very hard. When you have a strong personality like that, if you stay quiet for a little bit, those ignorant asses think that they won. And then it's like, surprise, wait a minute, I'm not finished. I'm going to let you finish, like he said on that TV show. I'm going to let you finish, but I'm going to tell you something.
Right.
And when I say what I got to say, then deny it in front of everybody. I want to see if you're bold enough to lie. So that's why they hate him, because he's telling the truth.
I agree with you, because if you recall, when Kanye first hit the streets and he did an appearance with Michael Myers, if you guys remember, and he went in like, boom. He said, which president don't like black people? Boom.
George Bush.
Right. And Michael Myers was like his character on Austin Powers. Like, you know, he froze. So Kanye West, meds are the issue. And TMZ has been getting in. So they say Kanye West is out of the hospital. This happened 2 days ago. But not out of the woods. And it all stems from the rapper's erratic pattern of taking his meds. And sources connected with the family tell TMZ. Other sources say Kanye has long suffered from psychological issues controllable by medication. And we're told Kanye is steady on his meds, but deviated from the prescribed dosage. And that's what led to the downward spiral and eventual mental breakdown. So this is what TMZ is putting out there to the world. And in my opinion, I think, like Dean just said, bullshit. You know, anything to discredit a black man, in my opinion, nowadays, who's got some type of position, power, money, and he's in the public eye, it's like they're taking everything away from us. You know, look what happened with MJ, Michael Jackson. They tried to tear that brother's name down, pedophile, this and that.
Oh, they did tear it down.
On trial. They tore him down.
But now, I will say this now. Hold on, Ty. I will say this. Some of that shit did look so fucking suspect. Yes. Like, Mike, what the fuck are you doing, dog? Like, you can't be in the tree with a little kid. You can't be on TV holding a little boy hand, bruh.
I was suspect, you know, I was for a second, especially when the mother got on the stand and said that he did pay them. She got paid off with
a
bracelet and a little bit of a, like, you know, to stay
you
in the
sold your child
room.
Soul
and
for
I'm
a
like,
tennis bracelet? For real? You hoe.
But and
cheapo.
Then my question was, why was he allowed to hang out in old boy's room? Like,
but hold on, peek
you know,
this though. Peek this. You know, if that was the average black family, pops come home and be like, who's this nigga in the room, man? He's fucking everybody up. Like,
right.
You in the room with my son, dog? You 35 and you in the room with my 15-year-old son? Man, I'm killing you, bro. We gonna make
Yo,
it, bro.
I mean, Paul Mooney, I just watched the stand-up of Paul Mooney a few days ago, yo. And I will have to say, that brother is the truth. Hashtag the truth when it comes to Paul Mooney. I didn't realize how really, really real some of my brothers are, but when you listen to a comedian, a philanthropist like Paul Mooney, yo, he was getting in on the white man. Like, yo, he had some outlandish shit to say, but it was the truth. And the funny thing was, it was with a black and white audience, and he was like sitting there just letting them know, I don't like you. Y'all have done everything to discredit us, take away from us, steal from, I mean, he was getting it in, but this was like a stand-up show, and I was just floored at how many people laughed at this man's truth. It was amazing. It was amazing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul been speaking that truth for a long time. Paul Mooney's been doing that since probably at least the 80s, if not the 70s, because I remember seeing him way back when, and he was dropping truth like that. And there's a lot of other comedians that will drop truth like that. I mean, Chuck Nipsey was doing that back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so do you feel like when you have brothers like the Paul Mooneys of the world, do you think that because of his truth that he is silenced eventually? Like, in his youth, Paul Mooney was a dancer. And you can even see it in the vintage clips from the 80s. You know, today's dancer is elegant and blah, blah, blah. But Paul, he went and he worked the stage. He was with Richard Pryor, writing partner and best friend. Yep. He worked with people such as Red Fox, Eddie Murphy, Dave Chappelle, a comedian. I mean, Mooney, I have to say, we need more Paul Mooneys nowadays. I wish we had young brothers that could get on stage and be so bold like the Kanye West of the world or the Paul Mooneys. And I got a question for y'all. What the fuck happened to Farrakhan? Sorry to say fucking Farrakhan in the same sentence, but I remember at one time that brother used to be on fire. MSNBC was playing him. He was on the news. He used to speak such profound speeches about the negativity against the white man and the things that are going on in this world. And now I don't hear so much about things such as that anymore. What happened? Guy, y'all want to chime in on this? Jay, you're included. What happened?
What happened?
Yeah.
He's 83 years old.
Yeah.
He's looking for somebody to pass the torch to, like, will one of you deep niggas take this damn torch? I'm tired of saying everything. So now I'm 83 years old, you know.
And what happened
my
to
time
Khalid
is
Muhammad
passing.
Or the other proteges? I'm saying he had other proteges that were under him. What happened to them, brothers?
Well, hold on.
Well, I mean, some of those proteges also wind up getting on, like, third-party tickets, and therefore we don't hear them. I mean, I've mentioned to you before, we've got a brother here named Lamont that's on the socialist ticket. He's a part of Black Lives Matter, and he's at all those speeches
mm-hmm.
all around the country.
Yeah.
But he's a third-party candidate. So you know, the media is not going to pay any attention to him because he's way down on the ticket. They're paying attention to what they consider the primary two, the Democrats and the Republicans, even though, like Dean just alluded to, in a lot of ways, on some issues, there ain't that much difference. There might be some with social justice with the Democrats and some other things, but on a lot of other things, they're just the flip side of the same coin.
And Khalid Muhammad passed away in 2001.
Thing.
So we
got to retire. And I had to retort that, so sorry for that. But I'm just saying, what happened to proteges such as him? Like, there's no others. And speaking of Farrakhan, guys, chime in on this one. So this happened December 1st, but Minister Louis Farrakhan hailed Fidel Castro. He hailed Fidel Castro as beacon of light for oppressed people worldwide. Okay?
And I don't blame him.
You don't blame
him? You have to remember, Bautista was overthrown by Castro. And under Bautista's rule, there was racism, classism, and all of that other crazy stuff. There was the home of the pedophile that could go hide over there in Cuba. And then he was overthrown by Castro and that regime. Fidel Castro has kept Sada Shakur, and I can't think of the other female's name. She was in that upstate New York bank heist where the police officer got killed. They have both been safe in Cuba for over 40 years. When they stopped offering free school, Fidel Castro said, "You want to come get your medical degree? Come on over here to Cuba. You can get that." He took black people being damn near illiterate to one of the highest literacy rates around. You can't get mad. They fed us the Kool-Aid because they could not control him. Over 600 times you try to kill this man, and you fail, and he looked at y'all and said, "You know what, y'all can kiss my ass, and you still can't kill me, so fuck you." And now they wanted to seem like he's so bad. No, it's because he could not and refused to be controlled.
And he wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
So since his death, countless black leaders have come forward to speak words of praise and remembrance of Castro's legacy, emphasizing the Cuban leader's stance on assisting African Americans in the fight against U.S. colonialism and white supremacy.
Mm-hmm.
So prominent Nation of Islam leader Minister Louis Farrakhan also offered a heartfelt words for the late Castro, who he deemed a messenger of Allah. And it went on to say that in answering the prayer of all, he becomes a messenger of Allah. He became a messenger to all from the God of all to answer the critical needs of all. Farrakhan said of the Cuban revolutionary, and like Jesus, who said he came into the world that those who say they see may go blind and that those who are blind may see. So, you know, it's refreshing to see things like this occur in the world. It takes you away from some of the negativity that is occurring in the world. And you have to shed, like, Dean, I love your take on this. I love your opinion on this and your views on it, because it's just sharing information with people out here in the world. Because you got to remember, it's like, you know, our brother Chuck D said, history is his story. Unless you go deeper for yourself, knowledge of self is so important, you know. So long live the memory of Fidel Castro is what Farrakhan concluded.
Yeah, because let's not remember that Castro was also one of the main supporters of what was going on in terms of the breaking down of apartheid in South Africa.
And he sent the troops over there while we sat back and just watched. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, he was a major supporter. And of a lot of the other African nations, he was helping to get their freedom from colonialism and was putting real forces in there. And then, and it's something that we have to understand, and you're right about the history thing, because people think that this whole thing with the pipeline is new. The Sioux River is just one of several Indian tribes that has been fighting stupidity for a long time. So this is just a continuation of what was Wounded Knee back in the 70s.
Big up to people like, not to say, because it's not always a white man that brings it to the forefront, but even like me and Leonardo DiCaprio playing in the movie The Revenant. You know, at least he did acknowledge the indigenous people. I tried to watch Concussion, which was the movie with Will Smith that got a lot of flack, him playing a Nigerian. I got to get back into and watch it because it was kind of slow. It's interesting enough to see our Black Americans playing an African. I don't know how they feel about that. Maybe that's why I didn't get a lot of receivement, or maybe it's just the fact that it was because he's playing someone from Nigeria. But my point is, it's time for the world to wake up. You know, we are living in a world that is one-sided sometimes. You have to do research for yourself. You have to discover what's going on in this country, and sometimes you got to seek it, and not just with everything that you see and read on the internet. It's true. You know, I mean, I studied journalism in college and even in high school, and one of the things that people forget is propaganda, mudslinging, conspiracy theories. These are things that are always going to allow us to have things called the fucking news. This is why the news exists. It's like they are in cahoots with the government. They have to keep this shit stirring, you know? That's just my opinion. I'm sticking to it. Jay, you've been on the phone with us. You've been listening in. You're a young man. You're in this world. Do you even follow things such as the stories with Fidel Castro? Are you a person that, you know, speaks truth in your music? Do you build with your brothers and sisters over there in Tampa, Florida? What's your opinion on some of this that we're talking of?
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's all what it's about. Like I said, that's what the you know's for, the unity and the knowledge. You know what I'm saying? Trying to unite your people. I honestly believe I agree what Farrakhan said with about Fidel, because, you know what I'm saying, it's really like that. You know what I'm saying? If you think about it, America, as they always say, Fidel Castro is such a bad individual. He's over here hurting all these people, and he might have, you know what I'm saying, or might have not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who's to say that? They're saying that, so it's like we just have to agree with what they say. You know what I'm saying? and all Farrakhan's really just saying is Fidel didn't take no crap. And he wasn't going to be ruled by an individual. He wasn't going to be ruled by another country. He was he's the king of his own country. He's like, you know what I'm saying? How you going to come tell me what to do in my country? So
right.
It makes sense.
Well, I agree with that. And I think that's what the issues with America is. America's been so accustomed to taking over someone else's country, and other countries allow America to step in and run things for them. You know, we are the land of the free, the home of the brave. I mean, case in point, not to bring something up, but another Hispanic person that I'm not going to say he was the most cleanest person in the world, and he might have not been the most sharpest knife in the drawer. But when I watched the story about Escobar being a Colombian, Colombians are ruthless. I didn't even realize how ruthless this brother was. I didn't even realize that, you know, the brother came from humble beginnings. He was nothing. He was nothing. He was a poor Spanish man, you know, and he just learned the game. He was a hustler, but he was like that Robin Hood for his people. He did steal from the rich. He gave to the poor. He was a self-made person. Right, wrong, or indifferent, I don't know if I'm totally in disagreement with the way he made his money. I know it's not right, and I understand, you know, the drug game is something that people frown upon, but I don't know. How do you guys feel about that when it comes to the way this man rose? He was pretty ruthless, and America did not like what was going over there, and we had no control over them either. Like, we had no say to step into Colombia. I wish a nigga would go over there. That nigga was blowing up buildings if he found somebody that was trying to come up against him. I'm not saying it was right, but he handled business. Anybody want to chime in on that?
Yeah, but I mean, part of that is also what you just referred to. Let's look at the color line on that. You know, Escobar is a member of, got some melon to his skin and everything. Whereas, you know, every time you turn around, as a matter of fact, I mentioned Timeless when we were talking earlier before the show, which is one of these new shows on, I believe it's NBC, that deals with social issues and things of that nature, but they go around to different things. And their next episode next week is going to be romanticizing Bonnie and Clyde. They romanticized Bonnie and Clyde, which did the same daggone thing, and Dillinger, who did the same daggone thing, but they romanticized them, and they're white folks. So, you know, if it's one of them, it's fine and dandy. If it's one of us, then we're going to get villainized.
Right, and that's my point. Like, okay, so I don't do coke. I'm not an advocate about drugs. I don't sniff blow. I never did, never tried it. But that brother made a hell of a lot of fucking money, I'm sorry, on a cocaine game. And it didn't come over to America, you know, just for circumstances' sake. I mean, it made a lot of people money. And then it was a natural resource. It employed a lot of damn people. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to feel. Sometimes it's like playing devil's advocate, guys. This world we're living in sometimes is so complex, but sometimes so simple. I think all of us want the finer things in life. All of us want a good home, you know, stability. And happiness and taking care of our families. So this man went about it in a different way. And then we have people like Reagan back in the day talking about there's a war on drugs. But, nigga, how the fuck did it get in the United States then? How did it get in the United States? Y'all were allowing portions of that in the U.S. Don't come on now. This isn't just like something that just happened overnight. And it employed half of the people in different ghettos in America. Gave them jobs that they would have never had. Half of the freaking rap labels out there, not to blast some of them brothers, their label started with dope money that turned into something else for them to have a better life to give to their family. I'm not saying that that's the way to go, but you can't tell me that's not how some of them started their businesses. Come on now.
Hey,
Italians have been doing this for a long-ass time, too.
Now, they're not the only ones, Ty. What's the number one sport outside of basketball? And I'm talking about when it's outside of basketball, which is we know is North Carolina King. But other than that, what is another number one sport in North Carolina? NASCAR. NASCAR ain't nothing but NASCAR ain't nothing but prohibition runners. That's how that whole business got started.
Prohibition. So speaking of prohibition, even bootlegging and liquor was illegal at one time, and that too. I mean, when the Great Depression comes and when depression does hit us, and recession hits, what's the first thing people rely on? Sex, liquor, and an outlet. When there are no jobs, what the hell do people resort to so they don't go crazy?
That's why it's no accident. That's why there's no accident that Dean, what are we now? About 10 of the 50 states that have some form, or maybe it's 15, some form of legalized marijuana now?
Of course. And so now that you touched on marijuana, I was waiting for somebody to touch on it. And I'm definitely one of those that is a supporter of marijuana. You know, I don't care. I might already be on the FBI's list. It's okay for me. I used to work at High Times Magazine. I'm proud of it. I'm a big advocate for medicinal use of marijuana. I'm for it. I'm not talking about the shit that's out here nowadays, the recreational, rolling it up in a blunt, you know, lacing it with something else. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that in small doses, it definitely, once the brain has matured, okay, I'm not talking about the young one and your brain is still nurturing and maturing. I'm talking about when you have a fully matured brain, you are you're very coherent and responsible for yourself. Marijuana taken in small doses, it helps with so many things. It's a natural resource. You don't hear anybody committing crime smoking weed as opposed to somebody that's smoking meth, smoking coke, doing alcohol, and doing crazy things. Am I wrong?
Florida.
So are we silent on that one? Jay, what do you think?
Shout out to Florida. We just legalized medicinal marijuana down here. So,
Barter was one of the places.
Legalized all of it. Don't try to justify motherfuckers ain't committing crime from smoking weed, but niggas' bodies will smell like shit because weed is not a cologne. All of the shit that's in it is not even fucking natural. It's been cut three times and motherfuckers are smoking and smell like embalming fluid because they smoking Love Boat now. And just legalize the shit because the same way they get alcohol, that will change as soon as they legalize all of the drugs. Not just weed. Legalize all of it. Because when motherfuckers got to go buy that crack rock and got to pay $10.70 because it's a 7% sales tax, all right. You ain't going to be over there trying to get your change up. You get them $11 and get 30 cents back. You know what I mean? It's going to shut down. Whoever's going to use it is going to use it anyway. We've seen that. All these years that they had this so-called war on drugs, people still get high. It has not stopped anyone from getting high. So you might as well legalize it because, I mean, I ain't going to get no coke. I don't give a fuck if it's legal or not. You know, I'm not going to use it.
Right.
But there's some people, they sniff coke. That's their thing. Whatever floats your boat, make mine sail. You know what I mean? So if that's their thing and you can handle your business and still do what you do, then you're functioning at it. Hey, we might as well tax your ass and knock down some of this federal deficit. Maybe some people can go to school for free with the money because the people still going to get high. Now you're taxing them. Now you don't have to tax me so much on the other side when we're trying to buy necessities. I'm not trying to get high. So maybe I shouldn't have to pay this much in the gas tax or in the real estate tax or whatever. You know what I mean? It's not going to hurt.
I feel what you're saying, and I actually, you know, I will say your argument it's got some validity to it, like very valid. 28 legal medical marijuana states and D.C. So we've got 28 legal medical marijuana states right now. Alaska, Arizona.
But they never changed the federal law.
Arkansas.
Remember, they still haven't done that.
Right. They haven't changed the federal law yet.
Correct. So
they
I'm just writing down a list of those guys. So this is so Alaska, how passed the ballot measure. Possession, 1 ounce usable, 6 plants, 3 mature, 3 immature. Arizona, how was it passed? Proposition, 203. Arkansas, how was it passed? Ballot measure. California, proposition. Colorado, ballot amendment. Connecticut, House bill. Delaware, Senate bill. Florida, ballot amended. Hawaii, oh my God, right here in Hawaii, thank God I can go find some. Okay, next, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, ballot question. Michigan, proposal. Minnesota, Senate bill. Montana, initiative. Nevada, ballot question. New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Dakota, as well as Ohio, House bill, Oregon, ballot measure, Pennsylvania, Senate bill, Rhode Island, Senate bill, Vermont, Senate bill, Washington initiative in Washington, D.C., Amendment Act B18-622, 2 ounces dry, limits on other forms to be determined. Okay, and in New York, 30-day supply non-smokable marijuana. So what's a non-smokable marijuana mean, guys? Well, I would have to say it's that type that's in the pill form.
Or brownies.
Pill form now. You got brownies. You've got edibles.
Gummy bears.
Okay? Yeah, you get all types of edibles. You've got it in the wax form now. I mean, people have gotten so creative with the medical marijuana. And the pill form called Marinol, 5 to 10 milligrams. I happened to meet a sister that was living in Chattanooga, Tennessee. She was taking the Marinol, and it was because she was a survivor of a brain tumor. So she took it for, one, she used to suffer from massive migraine headaches and insomnia due to her aftermath. So small doses of the Marinol, which is a marijuana pill, it's like a gel caplet, it helped her sleep, and it relieved nausea. So there are some people that are actually taking it. I remember even watching an episode of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and Kardashian's mom, she was using it. Because, you know, people are using this not just for recreation. And I get your argument.
She's chasing the money, too?
I do get your argument. Huh?
She's chasing the money and she getting high?
Hell yeah. But not her mom. So it was an episode, with her mother. So it was a grandma that's reaping the benefits. Like, she takes it because she had some type of ailment. And so her doctor prescribed her with the medical marijuana for her to take. And she actually was taking the Marinol, the pill. And I will say that when I spoke to the female that was using it, she still had the side effects of course, the munchies, like getting an appetite. So that's why for people that go through chemotherapy or AIDS patients, they do give it to them because it does increase appetite. So for some people, they do smoke this for other purposes because sometimes they have an eating disorder or they're losing weight or they can't keep weight on, and this gives them an appetite to eat. So I'm not talking about the party goers or those that are trying to get turned up or doing it just because they're chilling in the crib watching Friday. I'm talking about some of these people in the world that don't want the harsh side effects, like as opposed to, sniff your coke, take your meth. But have you ever seen what a meth head looks like after using meth or crack cocaine? They look like walking corpse. They look like a member of the walking dead. It's kind of fucking scary. I've never seen a person on marijuana, with the exception of probably getting fat are gaining some weight from getting eating too damn much. But I don't
Wait,
see
did you
them
say
transforming
scary?
And looking like they look scary. You don't have you ever seen the before and after
okay.
pictures of people taking meth? Yo, some of these
Never
people
like
their teeth is gone.
Thank you very much.
What's up,
yeah.
Mark?
Yeah.
I think you just covered something, though, when you went through that whole list, though. And there's something that you mentioned earlier, Dean. It's not federal yet, but it's on its way to be a federal. Because when you went through that list, I was thinking about individual states. So we got states that represent
right.
everything from Bernie Sanders, Vermont, to Jesse Ventura's
uh-huh.
Minnesota, to Sarah Palin's Alaska.
Yep.
That's going federal at some point.
Yeah.
Bet. So in Alaska, for example, the possession.
Huh?
Okay, so for in Alaska, the possession limit is 1 ounce usable. They can have 6 plants, 3 mature and 3 immature. Okay. And places like California can have 8 ounces. You can have 8 ounces on you, 6 mature and 12 immature plants. Connecticut, 2.5 ounces. 8 ounces in California. 8 ounces. And Florida, Jay
Reed. And then you're going to jail under 3 strikes.
So in possession, so the possession limit in Florida, it says amount to be determined. Amount to be determined.
JF has to figure out how much he got in his house first. JF's got to figure out how much he got in his house before they can determine how much.
So
mm-hmm.
then in places like Nevada, it says 2.5 ounces of usable ounces and 12 plants. You can have 12 plants in Vegas.
Mm-hmm. You're going to jail.
12 plants? No, that's the possession limit. That's your possession limit.
You're going to jail,
limit.
Man. Don't fuck
no,
with
but
them.
Listen,
I'm
going to
post this. I'm going to post this link on Voice of the
theory.
People so that way people can...
But let's think about Nevada just as an example. That means you can have 12 plants, and in a certain
yeah.
part of Nevada, you can also have a legal prostitute.
Okay,
right.
So wait. Oh, yo, and you can walk into CVS and buy you some liquor, too. Isn't that crazy? Like, yo, I can walk up into the drugstore and buy me a bottle of Crown. In the liquor store. It's not a liquor store. It's a drugstore. I was like, what's going on in the world? Like, Vegas is definitely Sin City. So, Jay Reed, what do you feel about what we talked about in Florida, amount to be determined? Are you telling your friends to take it easy? Are you guys running around happy, lucky? Like, what's up?
Plead the fifth. I'm sorry.
He's silent on that one. He's pleading. He's pleading the
He's
fifth
like, yo,
on that
you're
one.
Asking,
so
you're asking a question which I refuse to answer, and you're asking me in public. Stop.
Okay. So this is it, guys. The number of, and this was as of March 1st, 2016, number of legal medical marijuana patients. As of March 2016, legal medical marijuana patients per 1,000. So... it says that the charts below show the official number of medical marijuana patients holding identification cards in the state and District of Columbia with mandatory registration. So Alaska, they have medical marijuana patients, 1,132. The state population, 738,432. Arizona, 89,405 medical marijuana patients. California, 758,607 legal medical marijuana patients. Okay? And the population, wow, 39,144,818. Mark Lee, you break that down. What's that?
What was the numbers again? I'm going too quick with the calculation.
39,144,818.
So after you get to the thousands, we're talking 39 million.
And that's out of, so that's 758,607 medical marijuana patients in Cali alone. Hawaii, 13,021. And D.C., 3,445, the legal amount. Maryland, not open. New Jersey, 3,727. Washington State, 138,056. So the legal medical marijuana patients, 1,246,170. And so the states are Alaska, Arizona, Cali, Colorado, Connecticut, D.C., Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, Nevada, New Hampshire, Jersey, New Mexico, New York, small percentage, only 1,301. Rhode Island, 13,105. Vermont, 2,542. It's interesting when they have places like Jersey and New York where people have to take their asses to work, but then you got places like Nevada that got 14,000. So what does that go to say?
Right.
There's a lot of, you know what I mean? In certain states that we're, you know, the patients are, it's like, those sound like retirement states, you know? But what the hell are they doing over there in Cali? Huh?
Nevada's got a serious retirement community in addition to Sin City, and California got several retirement communities, so that could be the retired folks.
It's got to be. You know, they're token up. I mean, Delaware only has a whopping 102. 102. State population, 945,934. And a whopping 102. They don't want much going on over there in Delaware, from what it seems. This has been interesting. I'm going to share that on the Voice of the People page. And we're going to wrap this up because we could go on and on and on.
About weed.
I mean, hey. I just have to say, when I was a youngster, I had the blessing to work for a company that was very innovative, and it opened my mind. Two things of this, and I think that's why I speak about it so passionately. No, I'm not sitting here token up every day, guys. No, I don't smoke. I'm not a smoker. But I was a huge advocate for. I said I'm not a smoker of marijuana. I'm not. I do smoke cigars. I am a cigar smoker, and it's very therapeutic for me. And in my 20s, I did work for High Times magazine in New York City in my 20s, and I was blessed to meet, you know, I met tons of people working for High Times, you know, interviewed a lot of different people. You know, there are a lot of musicians, a lot of philanthropists, a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, and I'm pretty sure some of us were put on a list. And the ironic part was we were in a smoke-free building right on 19th Street and Park Avenue South. Not even sure if High Times is still at that location, but the publication is still going strong. And, you know, I noticed that people have gone on to still continue careers, informing and empowering people about pot etiquette, medicinal uses of marijuana, and the fact that our first flag was created from hemp, and so was the first money ever pressed was from hemp. So these are things that people need to realize that resource is natural, it's from the earth, and there's so many attributes to it, and you don't have to taint everything. Everything in this world is not, you know, got to be fucked up because society sometimes is fucked up and we fuck up everything. Something that can be so pure gets tainted. I'm sorry I had to say it like that, but I did. So that's just my take on it. I'm not quite sure if Jay is still with us. Jay, are you still in the building with us or do you sign off? Because I see him still in the studio. Not quite sure if he's still with us.
Yeah, I'm still with you. I'm here.
Okay, so we're going to let you sound off with a final thought, and then I'm going to let Mark go. Or Mark, you can let me go. It's up to you. And then, of course, our sixth man jumps in, and he always gives people words of wisdom. I always love the way he ends our show. So, and then Mark, you know what, Mark? You'll go after me because you definitely have to introduce. We have a guest coming up next Monday that Mark recruited. So we're going to get into the final thoughts of this evening. This is the part of the show where we just like to, you know, round off with our thoughts of today, our opinions and our views. And Jay Reed, you have the floor.
Well, I'm going to just keep it brief, man. I'm going to just say I appreciate y'all for having me. As always, it's like family, believe it. So, pretty much everything that was going on, man, like I said, I am a smoker, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to lie. Not to really get back on that like that. But, no, I'm just saying, to put it out there, just so that you know, because, I'm not hiding it, you know what I mean? But at the same time, the reason I do is because it does give me creative powers, is what I would like to say. And what, okay. You know what I'm saying, helps you in tune. And actually, I mean, a lot of people I know use it to study. They get A's in school to do use it. So, I mean, it's a lot more to it than just, you know what I'm saying, toting it up.
Yeah, you,
rolling
and
it
and
up.
Are you holding down a job? Do you get up and go to work still, Jay?
Yeah, I do. I got a 9-to-5 like everybody else trying to survive. You know what I mean? But this, honestly, one thing you did say earlier, I was going to jump in, but sometimes y'all be moving kind of quick. You said something about it helping you. You said something about it helping you eat. And to be honest, with me, maybe because I do smoke commonly, I find out that it's hard for me to eat if I don't actually do it. So
smoking suppresses your appetite, bro. Yep.
Well, I guess it suppresses it, but I mean that's it also gives me the appetite as well. So that's kind of why, you know what I'm saying? Another reason why it's like. Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons why, but I just want to say it's all on you, whatever you want to do in life, you know what I'm saying? A lot of people drink. I think I drink as well, you know what I'm saying? But I like to call myself an occasional drinker when, like, you go out or things like that, you know what I'm saying? But there's more, there's people out here that are alcoholics. You know what I mean?
But you're a social drinker, so you're a social drinker.
Absolutely, absolutely, yes, yes.
Okay.
I would like to say. But there's also people that are alcoholics as well, and that's, you know what I mean? And it's all on your will. I think it's all on what you do with it, you know what I mean? It's...
I think anything done in moderation, like as Dean was saying, you know, even when he mentioned, you know, the things about the narcotics, anything done in moderation, and you can still get up and do your J-O-B, so be it. You know, we all
Absolutely.
Have opinions and views about, yeah. You know what I'm saying? We all have opinions and views on how people do their thing, whatever it is. Hey, one of our most infamous and great, and Mark Lee could even chime in on this one, Gil Scott-Heron was a huge user of, you know, pain meds, and he did other narcotics. And honestly, he said, I read and did some research on Gil Scott-Heron. He created some of the most amazing pieces of music I've ever heard in my life. But at the same time, he said he suffered a lot of issues with his body and was in excruciating pain. And sometimes taking the narcotic was how he got through the day. But this man was an amazing composer and writer. Yeah.
One of his most famous
ahead,
songs
Mark.
Was about a narcotic. One of his most famous songs was a narcotic song. It's that song called Angel Dust.
Hell yeah. I mean, didn't Rick James did one about Mary Jane too, didn't he?
Yep.
Oh yeah.
I'm in love with Mary Jane, you know.
Yep.
She's my and it wasn't about a female named Mary Jane, okay? There was a time in life, hey, come on, Jimi Hendrix even sang about it when he came out with Purple Haze. Purple Haze
yep.
definitely wasn't talking about, you know, this is something that's gone on in the world that we're living in. And yes, we have those that are conservative, very up, you know, forthright individuals that cannot do anything to mess up the J-O-B. They live a clean, cookie-cutter life and will say shame on y'all for doing what you do. You know, all those hippie people and misfits of the world.
And then they'll run and go and get a book about Sherlock. Then they'll run and go and get a book about Sherlock Holmes, who was definitely high on something. And reference it in the book.
Oh, hey, and then you'll see stuff like, you know, Alice in Wonderland, and that brother definitely wasn't talking about, you know, a young little girl venturing off into a Wonderland. That cartoon was about tripping, you know. It was metaphorically animated, but we studied that when I was in high school. Big up to Mr. Howie, my literature teacher, who was like, this man was tripping on PCP and acid and things that cause you to hallucinate. There was a hallucinogen that caused people to say, hey, eat this and drink that and sniff this. I mean, it's not something that we don't understand occurs. It's just certain things have been glorified more so than others. You know,
right.
You got people out here nowadays that are addicted to freaking Oxycontin and painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
I don't know what the hell Wayne be having in that cup, but he definitely be sipping on something. You know, what
yeah.
is in the cup? What's in that cup? Who's mixing cough syrup with stuff? Yo, they used
yeah.
to put cocaine in Coca-Cola back in the day. Back
yeah,
in
did.
The day. They put cocaine in Coca-Cola. Parents back in the day, I'm not saying I condone this, but weren't they putting shit in cough syrup that used to knock your ass out back in the day? I'm just saying.
And have they totally revealed to us the secret formula? So are we 100% sure that it's still about it?
What was that cough syrup formula 44D? That was some
yeah.
nasty shit back in the day. What the hell was a formula 44D?
Exactly.
But your mother was giving you a tablespoon of that shit, and it would knock your ass out. NyQuil too. That was some powerful
yeah.
stuff.
And the Robitussin.
That shit would knock you out. Robitussin. Yeah. You wanted to go to sleep, or you wanted to have your little rugrat running around, you can give them some cough syrup just to knock their asses out. I'm just saying. These are things that have been going on in this world we're living in, and it's, I guess a lot of things are going to continue. Whatever you do, my people, do it responsibly. Thank you, JV, for your views and opinions on tonight's show. My final thought for tonight is this. Life is love, and love is life. And one day at a time is what we must do. Embrace today. Take time to enjoy the view. And also, we are in this time of the year where we're about to step into a new year is approaching. So I just want to continue to reflect and give thanks for being 43 years old and having a voice on this platform of a show called The Voice of the People, being able to reflect on things that are happening in this world. Thank God for the Fifth Amendment. Thank God for my co-host Mark Lee and Dean Geronimo for chiming in every Monday night with me. And I want to take this time to also just say I want to give peace and blessings to a lost angel, which is my mother, which this is always a touching month for me. I lost her back in 91. And so I dedicate this show and the rest of these shows to the woman that gave birth to me. And thank God for her, or you would not have a Ty Jones. So that is my final thought. Just love the ones you're with and continue to tune in on Mondays with us at 7 o'clock. We'd love to hear from you. Mark Lee, take it away.
Sure. Two things. One, 54, and I can actually say that among this group of folks, I'm one of those that has not smoked anything in terms of marijuana and things like that. But that does not mean that I did not see the joys of the pot world through other things. Because I'm not going to lie, I did have a brownie or two, and I did have a good contact intentionally. because I remember the first time I ever decided to do that. I was rolling with her friends. They just had to smoke, and I'm sitting there going like, I don't like the feel of the drag of a smoke. I want to get high. What am I going to do? I'm going to roll the car window up, and I'm going to get a contact high. And it was just as effective as smoking, if not more so, because I was probably getting 5 times as much. So might have got a triple high for all I know. So on that note, but in terms of societal thoughts, I'm going to let you know this. One is, I was checking out on the news where there were some people that had voted for Trump, and now they're upset because they didn't study the candidate like they should have, and now they're like finding that he's going against what they thought he was going to do. I could have told them that he was going to do that, but nobody called and asked me. But if they'd asked me, I would have told them. But they called and asked me. So my final thought in terms of us and this show is, whatever you do, study. Study the history. Study what's going on in the world. Study the issues that are going on. Make sure that you have a solid foundation for what your opinion is and that you have some backing for what that opinion is. That does not mean that you have to gravitate and compensate for what that opinion is, because it's your opinion and you got the right to your opinion, and you don't need to back down and think that you got to have the opinion of somebody else because it's the quote-unquote going and popular opinion. But if whatever your thought is, be able to back it up and have some factual support if you decide that you want to and share your opinion on that. Like I said, I agree with Dean that you don't have to go there and have no people try to dictate to you what your opinion is. And as far as the show next week, what Ty just referred to, you know, we've got some major issues going on in this world along the lines of classism, racism, and all kinds of other issues. So it was great pleasure. I went out and recruited a young lady, Felicia Arriaga, who is a Mexican-American who is doing some serious studies and fighting on immigration rights. So that's right. You can tell them again. That's right. I'm calling them out. I'm going to keep calling them out because I'm determined that the next 5 weeks, Trump is going to tweet our name. I don't know how we're going to do it, but Trump is going to tweet our name. So I'm calling them out. Trump, we're going to talk about your immigration policy. We don't like your immigration policy. Felicia doesn't like your immigration policy. We're going to call you out. So, Mr. Trump, if anybody is listening that knows Mr. Trump, tell him to listen next Monday, and he can tweet what we say, because we're calling him out, and I have a goal that before 2016 is out, I want to be tweeted by Mr. Trump that he doesn't like me either.
Wow, Mark Lee is going to be called the mad rapper.
Tell him why you mad, son.
Yeah, why you mad? Why you so mad? Why you so mad, Mark? Why you so mad?
Hey, we've had a lot of stupidity going on in the political circle for years, and I think it's time that truth be told.
I'm feeling you, yo. I'm feeling you. I'm feeling you like, you know, mad flavor in your ear, Craig Mack. I'm feeling you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was some flavor for your ear, you know. The flavor just got so deep, it went deep into your ass creep, Busta Rhyme would say. So I had to throw something up in there. Yo, that was some deepness. I'm feeling that, Mark Lee. Thank you, Jay Reed and Mark. I can't wait for next week. This is actually a pretty juicy topic. Dean Geronimo, please take it away with your words of wisdom.
Well, it's been said, and it's been said by Steve Jobs, that your time is limited, so don't waste it living someone else's life. Don't be trapped by dogma, which is living with the results of other people's thinking. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice. And most important, have the courage to follow your own heart and intuition. With that being said, this is the voice of the people, host Ty Jones, co-host Mark Lee. I'm the sixth man, Dean Geronimo. Catch us here on Monday nights at 7 p.m. You can actually call in and join the conversation at 646-668-8393. And when you get a chance, send me an email at gx3, that's gxiitravel@gmail.com. Don't book your next hotel without allowing me to save you a little bit of money. So, you know, with that being said, Dean Geronimo's out.
That's Dean Geronimo. He's out of here. Jay Reed, thank you for taking us out of here. This is one of my favorites. I don't know if Jay likes this one, but I really do. So taking us out of here, Jay Reed, Rock the Bell on The Voice of the People. Peace and good night.
Good night.
Niggas, all they do is make sales. Mama need a meal. Pop's trying to chill. Name in their mouth like a root canal. Rock the bell. 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 Oh, I'ma go easy. Lavish lifestyle, cause I flow so well. Fresher than the prince, but no, I ain't well. Levels to this shit, you know life ain't fair. Every hit, I'ma strike like I can't bowl a spare. Rap Terminator, the regulator, devastator. All you perpetrators, see you later. Lyrics like Oxycontin, codeine, or morphine. But really, I'm just trying to kill all dreams. Woo, woo. Can I turn up a little? More determined than people on big screen. Hooked up with Teddy Ted, now I'm doing big things. Who got information? They'll kill you for info. Sometimes you gotta lay low with a limbo. Kill any beat instrumental with tempo. Not Drizzy Drake, but I'm nice with the pendo. Trigger City made it, yeah, Tampa we here. Show you how to cop a feel to make it disappear like.
Call me David.
Call me David. The Rego heart is nails. Battle anybody, I am no Meek Mill. Kill at will, ain't no chill. All in the mouth like a root canal. Rock the bell. 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 Rock the bell.
Bell. Bell. Yes, sir.
Hey, disaster master, make revenue faster. Stop running alone, you like a cow in the pasture. I'm built for this shit. Noah's Ark and you a hypocrite. Donald Trump, say you like good music. When I give it to you, all you do is hate, never appreciate. Your sound is late, career at state, and all I do is jam like the homie Blake Griffin. And now I got you listening. What will it take for you to understand I'm gifted, man? I'll probably maybe be one of your best Christmas gifts. Ask your girl, I know she had me on a Christmas list. Rock the bell.
Bell.
Bell. Rock the
bell.
Rock the
bell.
Rock the bell.
Rock the
bell. Make music for the Christians and the atheists. Your little daughter tell her friends at school to play my hits. Rock bells like some of y'all relationships. Nowadays we can't tell who we dating with. Put a wager up if you say Jay can't spit. Might look at you stupid and just take your shit. Worst critic is the one who can't rap or spit. Everything imaginary in my life exists. If you rap or buy your CD and break your disc, then have several seats while I scorch the beat. Rock the bell.
Bell.
Rock the bell. Look, lyrical genius, money older than seniors. I hang with the deacons and I know all the Ricans. I be preaching a lot, I be having some fun. I'm like Reverend Run, except we carrying guns. I ain't dope as they is, I ain't nice as they are. But one thing about me, I leave a girl in awe. Plus she all over me, now she rubbing on me. So I pull out the D and let her play with the Wii. Girl, it's not Nintendo, but I need that endo. Only smoking endo, so open the window. And I take you places you never knew cannabis grew. And I rip you like LL did cannabis too. Rock the bell.
Bell.
Woo. Rock the bell.
Bell.
Okay. Hey. Rock them bells.
Bell.
You know. Rock the bell.
Bell.
Woo. 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 Let's go. Shout out to my dude.
Jay Reed, thank you very much. Mark Lee, co-host. Ty Jones, your host. And the sixth man, Dean Geronimo, thank you. God bless and good night.